The theme for the afternoon talk is the power of connection. Now, the theme for the afternoon talk is the power of connection. It can easily happen and occur, of course, during the days of a retreat, that as we explore the inner life and in the depths of the being, the various kind of movements take place inside of us, and these movements can produce a whole variety of feelings, energies, sensations, thoughts, can just be moving through the being. We find it sometimes pleasing, happy to feel the life moving through the being, and it certainly can express itself in powerful and healthy and healing waves. And the wise use and application of the free flow of energy generally can benefit heart, mind, body, brain, the whole being. And this allowing and contact and connection with our experience, with the breathing process, with the energies of life, that the expansion of all of that, pardon me, can bring much vitality to all the cells of the body, the whole biology of the human being, and heart and mind having such intimacy together with the body that the mutual influence and connection between the two can generate life, as I said, health, happiness and healing. And we should never underestimate the healing power of the heart and mind in its relationship to the body. There are times in this connection of heart, mind and body, of course, where the condition of the body in its processes which take place are such that it's kind of making its movement through life towards the end of life, sooner or later. And it takes some clarity and some depth of inner peace to be with the process, the movement towards the end of life, whether through age, whether through sickness, whether through an accident, and in which one inwardly is at peace with this process. And though there may be in the connection with the body pain and various kinds of pain, there is no pain in the mind as an outcome. There isn't a collision or a connection of pain in the mind and the heart, fear, worry, anxiety about the future. And therefore, one is at peace with the day, with the next day, and therefore, in the connection with the painful bodily experience, it stays just there, and it doesn't have the power, nor is it given the authority to actually move into the mind. It doesn't generate the fears. If we, in a small and modest way in life, can establish a clarity with the body, learning in the connection with the body to really see body, as energy, as life, as vibrancy, as cells, as DNA, as an expression of nature, really, really see that clearly, not because we've made it up, because it's a fact, that this is the body. It is an outcome of nature. It is a product of nature. It is an emergence from the nature. And that connection, the authentic one, is to see that so clearly that the I and the my around the body is very light. That's the connection. It's very light. Because instead of I am the body, and an identity is formed out of this I am the body, there is a clear seeing with love, with respect, with support and care for, and that seeing carries with it a knowing. This body is not me, it is not myself, it is not who I am, it is an outcome of the nature, it belongs to the nature, it's supported by the nature, and in time it will dissolve and go back into the nature. And that practice is because it's true. I didn't make it up. This is elements. This is organic life. This is physical. This is nature. This is biology. This is history. This is an expression of evolution. This is DNA. And that seeing of it in that way, in which there is no withdrawal. The problem of human beings, in this sense, is the disconnection. It is the detachment from. And these teachings have not a word in them about detachment. It's not in the Buddha's Dharma. There's not a word in the text called detachment. It's in fact quite the opposite way around to what sometimes we've been told. We're encouraged not to detach from the body, which is a violence of itself. It's a withdrawal. It's a denial. It's, as we have engaged in here, it is bringing the fullness of the mindfulness to the physical experience, not pulling away from it. It's getting closer and closer to it. It's experiencing the life of the body. And that connection with the experience of the life of the body will enable us to see more clearly the time-honored words of the Buddha. See body as body. That's all. And if we see clearly, the abuses which go on the body will stop. The addictions, the problematic issues, the closeness to the body will, without all the I and my and the habits, will bring out of the being respect, love, appreciation, the remarkableness of this human existence and this remarkable formation that we find ourselves in front of us, so to speak. And it's a practice to see, see the body as an expression of nature, rather than just seeing it as who I am or as mine. When you cut your fingernails or you cut your hair, you don't go, oh my God, I'm losing part of myself. Because you cut your nails and get your hair, oh my God, it's going on the floor. Etc. When you go and have a piss and a shit, you think, God, I'm losing all of myself. It's going down on the sewer pipes. Why? I can't even hold on to that in myself. And when we can, we're not very happy about it because we're constipated. The whole idea of holding on to it's me and my is kind of madness, human madness. So in this sense of connection, of intimacy, of getting closer, it is to see well and clearly. And though connection is often loved and appreciated in a variety of ways, but also there's the benefit as well, and the importance, which I'll touch on in a moment or two, of disconnection, which doesn't get such a positive rap in these circles as being connected. And sometimes, you and I, we don't know because we're innocent creatures. And as the poets tell us sometimes, innocent creatures abroad. Meaning we land in this world, events go on, and we don't really know the sustaining power of a connection. We just don't know. And I'm just speaking a little personally with this here. Years ago, like a mere half a century, it is actually half a century there, when my hair was dark brown, which is a really long time ago, when nature decided to bleach it to another colour. I never asked the nature to do that. It's my hair after all. And now it's gone. Somebody said, I saw Christopher, I hadn't seen him for years. He's gone grey. I said, grey? That was 20 years ago. And then some of my friends would say to me, because they want to give me comfort, we really like your silver hair. No, it's white. It's Father Christmas white. But the odd phenomenon, don't laugh too loud, everyone. But the odd phenomenon is, if it was, it was a salt and pepper look at one period. He's a salt and pepper man, look at that. And whereas I'm all white, but I actually looked in the mirror this morning and I noticed that there's a little black silver. If you've got some binoculars, you might see it. What does this black hair mean that I don't know? The rest is white. And what is left? Whatever. And sometimes the hair, you can see from the back, it's falling out of the head. You see there. I didn't ask my hair to fall out of the back of my head. Why didn't it fall out the front like his? No, it's falling out the back. I didn't ask for that. And then I look and then I see that the hair is not growing on my head anymore. It's going, it's disappearing. But it's growing out of my eyes. 50 years ago, there was no hair growing out of my eyes, and now it's growing out. I have to keep clipping it. Because if I didn't, by the time I get here to Israel, it'd be a big bush. I don't mind it. After all, it's my hair. All right, you get the point. Oh dear, what a world. So sometimes in our exploration and our experience, we begin to say, this is not me, this is not myself, this is not who I am. When I went to India for the first time, actually, it was April of 67. I was about 22 years of age or whatever. And I was actually going to go to India via Israel. So through Turkey and Syria, Lebanon, and here. And by the time I was hitchhiking across, it was June 67. It didn't seem the best time to come. So forgive me, I avoided. Some of you, not many of you, will even remember June 67, anyway. So I went the other route, which was Turkey, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, etc. And all the lovely hospitality of the Muslim communities to us hippies making the journey across. And then landing in India and initially just spending a few months there. I had no idea in that initial visit that the impact of the connection would have such a strong, long-standing influence over 50 years. How could I have known? And so there's the well in India, and initially, just seeing all the difficult aspects of India, the noise and the pollution and the hassles and the trains that never come and the buses that break down and etc. etc. And the challenge is too sweet and all those things that we complain about. And yet, in all of that relationship to the dynamics of the place, something else touches us. And I'm only using it as one example there. And how the view can unexpectedly change. This is the important thing with this. So some of you who have traveled to different places or here or whatever it might be, and there's the experiences, then the view forms out of the experience. And plenty of times in the initial experience of being there, there was the connection, and then there was the doubt, what the hell am I doing here? I'll get on to Thailand, I'll go on to somewhere else, or whatever. And then eventually get out of India, I have to say initially with some relief, go around to other places, and something in the inner life moves, and there is a feeling of connection with. And the connection generates, and the mind has no rational explanation for the connection. And that principle can apply in lots of areas of life where there is a connection, but reasoning doesn't fit with the connection. And it may be in the state, in the exploration of liberation, which is the most important thing of human life, that sometimes you and I have had to make decisions, we've had to listen to our authority and move into something else, make a connection with something else, when we can't explain it to ourselves, and others around us will tell us, oh, you shouldn't do that. I remember my mother saying to me, you're 22, you're too old to go hitchhiking. At 22? And then the editor in the newspaper, no, your career. You can't give up your career and become a hippie, you know, and just go hitchhiking and smoking, which I did there. And now you've got a career, it's just developing. And even though still one can't explain to the other, because they don't get it, but one doesn't get it oneself. But nevertheless, something is moving the being from the known into the unknown, and a new connection is made which was not known previously. India is the metaphor for this. And something which we might not like, we're glad to be out of, whatever that might be, can bring about, as we know, another view in ourselves, and that other view and the response to it is, I didn't like, wow, there is something in this. It happens in the retreats. You come on a retreat, you spend some days here, you just can't wait for tomorrow. It's a liberation in itself. You're out. You're back in the traffic that you love so much. And being out of the situation, it's over. And then sometimes, out of the days, out of the weeks, out of the months, despite the confusion and the doubts and the challenge and those filthy quarters over there that you stay in and much, much else, in spite of all of that, something in the being responds which says, there is some value in this, in spite of. And it's our challenge that where there is something deep and important, and there is the confirmation as a value or as an ethic, can we listen to it, even when others all around telling us not to? Telling us to fit in, to so-called do the right thing, to please the other. And that sometimes that inner voice of shift and change and adventure, it opened up the heart, it opened up the being. And in small ways on the daily basis, we listen well and deep enough, we will be bold. We will take steps and make these various connections. This freedom to explore. I'm not talking in dramatic ways, I'm talking in the explorations of life here. That there's the movement of the inner. During the days of being here, there may well be a whole profusion of different thoughts, many kinds of ideas and thoughts. And as you know, with the streams of thought, it is hard to know which thought is the one to listen to and respond to. And it's worthwhile, before you leave, to engage in some reflection of the days and the hours that we've had here together. Is there one or two things, which is more than enough, which stands out, which you can say to your being here, this you will make happen? And it's worthwhile enduring all the streams of thoughts that may have arisen, even if it's brought a lot of uncertainty and confusion and insecurity and much else. But if you can look in the inner life and just find one and say, this I'm going to make happen, this I'm going to bring into this world, and it's worthwhile going through all the difficulties just to find one or two to actualize, to bring something fresh and important perhaps into your life or into the life of another or others. And that connection, which is another expression of connection, is a connection from the deep of the being moving through, even though the thought initially might have seemed to be very lightweight, quite unimportant, and a little reflection may show it is quite different. And you may have strong thoughts here, strong feelings, you connect with them, they feel and think to be very, very important based on how much thinking about, based on how many feelings went into the thinking, and the meeting of a lot of feelings and a lot of thinking is only a confirmation of a lot of feelings and a lot of thinking. It doesn't confirm in itself anything significant. And something which seemed trivial, superficial, light, it just passed by in consciousness, hardly noticed, that could be the life-changing moment. This is life. Sometimes we just don't know what in the being and what we connect with, which proves to be extraordinarily important. All good? Not good?
Can you speak to the microphone?
I'm trying to speak to the audience, but I know what you mean. Very bad. It's gone quiet. Can you still hear the voice when he's... The microphone has gone into early retirement. Why does that last 10 minutes remind me of India? As they say in India, sab kuch milega, everything's possible. All right. So there are times, as I say, where the being moves what seems small, light, inconsequential and unimportant may change. It may be that which contributes to some insight and understanding. And that, as I say, the exploration of that can bring about long-standing connection. It can be as well. The importance of this is, Dharma language, there is some truth, in the long-standing connection. The long-standing connection of the friendship. Two people or more have stayed true to something in the friendship or in the connection. And the friendship, the meeting, regular or irregular, sustains something. And truth, if it's one thing about truth, about reality, it is steady. It is steady. And we can have experiences. You meet somebody, you see somebody on the retreat, whatever. With the retreats, it's the phenomena of romance is in the air. Sensuality is running through this hall. If it isn't, something's abnormal. And in all of the silences that take place on in the retreat climate and the retreat culture there, the extraordinary, pardon me, with the silence there, there isn't the opportunity to communicate with the other. It's the silent realm. It's respectful and precious and supportive, because the connection with the silence is more important than the talking there. But easily, as we all know, that movement of the silence, or sorry, the moment in the silence there, easily gives the opportunity for love, romance, friendship, the erotic, the sensual, to emerge through the being, and guess what? It can land on somebody. That poor innocent person. And with that feeling sensual presentation that takes place there, that mind looks for the confirmation of the connection. So there's feeling of one feels really strongly connected with her or him or whatever, but the mind will not be happy to just see connection to, oh, I really feel connected with you, even though it's unspoken. So we will look in other ways for the connection. Our pairs of sandals outside the door are close together. This is a profound, symbolic, cosmic connection that we have. She's sitting at the table opposite me. we are washing our dishes together. So the mind is looking for this cosmic connection until you speak to the person at the end of the retreat. And you think, what was all that about? Sometimes when we open our voice, it's the biggest disappointment of the other person's life. Sometimes, and also I must say, it happens to us teachers as well. And so one of the good teachers, not one of these two, said, Chris, from the previous group, one of the women here said to me that she had a really big crush on me, like that. I know, it's hard to believe. And a white-haired guy, etc. And so sometimes it can go in any direction. Sometimes it lands here as well. You know, once every couple of decades, but anyway. You know, it keeps us going. So sometimes, in our it's getting slightly bad, this anyway. And so sometimes in the receiving of, let us say, that, when it comes to us. But sometimes we also need the quiet authority within our being here. And sometimes a person or another, let us say, wishes to make a connection, but the kind of connection she or he or I or us wish to make with the other is different. One wishes to make a connection which is romantic and sensual and living happily ever after with 2.2 children and a big house with 2.2 garages. And the other hasn't got that in mind at all. And another just sees as friendship, or in some cases as teacher, yogi, or whatever it might be there. Our quiet voice of authority there needs at times to be clear as early as possible if we have a sense of what the communication is, what the connection is. Because sometimes if we don't find the voice, we don't make it clear how easily one or the other is thinking this is going in this direction, and the other one is thinking, oh no, it's not, we're not going down that road called the bed, and we are going in another direction of just friendship, communication and clarity, and the quiet expression of authority helps to clear the air. We have plenty of practice to do, plenty of exploration to do, listening to the heart, listening to what the feeling message is, listening to the other, really connecting and understanding the communication of the other, so that the wisdom and the mindfulness is both inner and outer. And that inner and outer is therefore showing respect to the other, respect to oneself as well, and then that connection there, and then the clarity, there's a freedom. One's not confused, one's not anxious, one's not deceiving oneself, one has no interest to deceive the other, we're being as clear as possible. If there is some misunderstanding, which easily happens, we're willing to be patient, to listen to the other, we're patient to share our voice, to bring back that clarity, to free us up from a problematic situation. And that's the work and the activity of connection, is to see clearly. In the exploration of it as well, though, like with the talk here, much emphasis on connection, but also remembering as well the importance of ending a connection. If we think life is only about connectedness, and we exaggerate the importance of connectedness, and the feeling life kind of narrowly goes in that direction, we might forget the great and equal value at times of a disconnection from. And that also requires from us a quiet authority as well. And some of us, we feel no connection, and we have no wish to support consumerism. The obsessive addiction to things, goods, status, privilege, money, power, influence. We don't want to feel connected with that. Sometimes we look at our governments and we see the policies which our governments are bringing out and are exercising, and the suffering that brings on its own people and on others. Some of us feel, I do not want to be connected with that. Sometimes we look at situations in life of the kind of views and opinions which take place, the attempts to manipulate our life, to control our life. We look at all that. I don't want to be connected with that. So authority, the quiet inner authority, not only needs the power to say yes to connection, in the very precious and beautiful ways we can express connection, but we also need the authority and the same quiet power at times to say no, whatever that might be. And some of the women and men in this world that you and I know and have contact with, somewhere in the being there have been times when they have said no and would prefer the uncertainty and the insecurity and staying true to something, the capacity to say no and disconnect from, rather than live in, stay with. It requires quite some listening to that. So the movement of life, the connections in life, and the power of times making the statement of the disconnection. Yeah. And hopefully, sometimes when it's with relationship, and I'm talking intimate relationships and partnerships, lovers, relationship, there, with all that's engaged in that, there, that it may require from us, even if it's not being given to us, it may require from us, can I as a human being find enough metta, kindness, friendship and love inside of myself, in which, though a relationship may end, and that ending of the relationship can be difficult, it can be bring about sadness, can I as a human being make the transition from partners or lovers or husband and wife or couple together within one's own preferences there, in which, in the movement from that, there is the capacity and the commitment to go from that to friendship. The transition to friendship. And to stay true to that. Even if the other, she or he, says, I hate you, you've let me down, I never want to see you again, and all the unkind words, but one has the quiet commitment and will not close the heart. will not, as a human being, give the authority to another to close my heart. That is not worth doing. And one is therefore quietly committed, it's not easy, in the difficulty, to stay open, to stay clear there, and in that staying open and clear, sometimes, as I say, from relationship, it is to friendship. And it might be 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, years later, that the friendship starts to come back. Friendship, like when Ananda had this conversation with the Buddha, one of the best known statements in the Buddhist text there, he said, isn't this life of exploration, of inquiry, of spirituality, of meditation, of community, isn't this life lived? No, isn't half of this life lived for friendship? And the Buddha's response to it was famous words, do not say that, Ananda. Ananda was his attendant. Do not say half of this exploration, this spiritual life, is lived for friendship. The whole of it is lived for it. All of it. It's a powerful statement. Can a human being stay warm, friendly, steady, true to it, it's a huge challenge, in spite of what is received? And that capacity for the exploration of the heart opening, is one of the statements of an awakened life. Connections, disconnections. Exploring changes, staying true to friendship, sustaining it through the days, weeks, and months, and years. Recognizing that sometimes the intensity of feelings and thoughts and their meeting point may not be, though they're strong, may not be as deep as we think or imagine them to be. And maybe it's just in the quiet moment, something very small is mentioned, which is where the significance really is. And our mindfulness and exploration is to be so receptive, we can respond. Free human being, it means it's the liberation of love. Liberated human being is liberating friendship into the world. Kindness, insights, it's the freeing up of that. That's what the liberation is about. May each one of us be fully dedicated to a liberated life. There's no alternative. Thank you for listening. Let's have a quiet minute together, shall we? May all beings explore the inner authority of connection. May all beings explore the inner authority to say no. May all beings live with love and wisdom.